Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Hi, Father Matt. Welcome back again. That's how are you?
Thank you for asking. Very few people do. I'm doing very well. Uh-huh. Our parish is thriving once again, which is good. Mm-hmm. I think I'm in a good place in my priesthood. It's a different role than I've been accustomed to, but I've been at this for over 3 years now. So mm-hmm. I have two great young priests mm-hmm. helping me.
Yes.
Father Dave O'Brien and Father Shane Flanagan. I have a wonderful staff. Are you regretting having asked me now? Because my health is good, thank God.
No, I'm not. I'm not regretting it at all.
Yeah. Things are going well. I've said to you before, I'm thoroughly enjoying this sort of deep dive into the Gospel according to St. John. I can't remember if I said this here before, but you can always edit this out if I said it before. But I just remember when I took a class in the seminary at St. Charles on the literature of John. As I think I've said before, John is responsible for the authorship of 5 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Our professor was Monsignor James Touro from the Diocese of Newark, and I just love Monsignor Touro. I think everybody loved T-U-R-R-O. But I remember we were, again, the 5 books, and we only got up to the 4th chapter of the Gospel because he really led us through word by word and what each word meant. He really taught us a method to go through Scripture that way. And you start to realize, like, wow, this is a lot of people much smarter than I am. Like St. Jerome spent his whole life going through this. But we went through
That's
it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Really incredible. Like you start to realize when you're ignorant of God's word, you're ignorant of Christ Himself, right? So it's all very powerful. But I've enjoyed it. But life is good. I feel like I should have one of those stick figures with, holding his thumb up saying life is good. You ever see that?
Yes.
Little cartoon. Yeah,
okay.
Things are going well. So thanks for asking.
Well, now that's embedded in my memory. So just you wait, Father.
Yeah. Okay.
There may be a stick figure with the thumbs up in your future.
With a palm tree, in the background. Yeah, no, things are good.
But, back to Monsignor Touro.
Monsignor Touro. 101 years old.
Oh, still with us.
Still with us.
God bless. It made me think of Lectio Divina, how you said he would teach. I mean, how each word was so rich, I guess.
And I'm going to get into it a little bit in this episode when we start unpacking the word house and what that means. That'll be more apparent after you've read it.
But
Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. So
I'll
my best to get into that a little bit.
And one thing about your description about how you love where you are now, I mean, in how it's Our Lady of Mount Carmel is really good for you. I saw on Facebook just, I think this morning, there was a picture of you and a gentleman, I forgot his name already, but you were there, and you just look so natural, so laid back, your big smile, and I don't know if he is, making you laugh, or when I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Who was that gentleman? It was a picture just recently.
Yeah, so I think I know what you're talking about. There was a young man I taught in high school at Bishop Shanahan for a long time, for 12 years, and there was a young man who I taught named Michael Cabry.
Yes,
and Michael's just such a good kid. He's a police officer right now in Calm Township out there, and just a good young man now, but he was a good kid back then. Well, his dad is Mike Cabry Senior, I suppose, and Mike's wife died about 5 years ago, Donna, and she struggled heroically. And passed away about 5 years ago. And I think it's one of the reasons this is all so powerful. Mm-hmm. So Mike made the trip all the way from really the northern and westernmost part of the diocese to come to visit yesterday. And mm-hmm. It's just a good guy. It's very humbling for me because I'm a schmo, you know that.
And the point of that, and my point is, you look so at ease.
Yeah.
You look, I mean, that's where you belong.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying it. I mean, there was a joy about you, not just a happiness.
Yeah.
You look so joyful.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah.
In that picture.
Thank you. There was two parishioners came up to me a couple of years ago, Joe and Carol Guckevin, and Joe said to me, "Father, you always look like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders." Mm-hmm. And, I had never thought that, but I've paid closer attention to that, but not just that. I think the parish is doing very well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a freer now. You know, I'm like, okay, I have it where I believe it needs to be, or at least heading in the direction mm-hmm. I believe it needs to head. So, mm-hmm. So I would say this is the happiest I've been mm-hmm. as a priest.
Excellent.
You know, I'm coming up on.
And you've mentioned that.
25 years.
And it was apparent just by that picture.
Yeah, wild. That's something how people
I just wanted to give a shout out to
Thank
that.
You. I appreciate
and to,
that.
To affirm you in your role as pastor.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very blessed.
For what it's worth from this schmo over here.
No, I don't think you see, you're not a schmo. No, I'm a schmo.
What am I?
Well, I can't say it on a family show, but off air we'll say something.
Well, thank you, Father. I know. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Well, we're still going to go. But
the wisdom and wit, that's the wit part.
Yes,
Half wit, but the wit part.
No, whole wit.
Knit wit, okay.
There's some people say, I'm with you. I know.
Yeah, that's a Philly thing.
Yeah.
You're from Erie.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That's a Phil. With you.
Well,
hey, what you up to? What you?
So can I take? I want to go real quick. When Gary Zimak and I did Spirit in the Morning, one morning he would come in and then throw a curve. He goes it was a Monday morning. He goes, "Dave," and we're live. I mean, we're a live show. He goes, "Today, I'm going to teach you how to speak Philadelphian. You're from Erie." You have no accent. He read this. It was a funny opening in the first segment. He said, "Dave, read this. I mean, and it, read the English, and then read what it really is in Philadelphia." So it was funny.
Well, we had at our church recently the pastor of St. Ephraim's Parish in Bensalem. Mike Spezia, Father Mike Spezia.
I have met him.
Yeah, Mike and I have been friends for years. So we have him speak during our novena that we had recently. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I was sitting there thinking, he's right out of central casting, northeast. He's a hoagie mouth, but he must have said 10 times in his 15-minute talk, to be honest with you. He kept saying that with you over and over again. Mm-hmm. So, but he did a wonderful job and a great, great, great guy.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I have met him.
Wonderful priest.
Yes.
I mean, really a wonderful, energetic, funny, very fun. But not just funny, good.
Witty?
Witty.
Witty.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I ever call a hoagie mouth witty, but he's funny.
Yeah.
And it's all guy humor. He was telling the people that I was from Father Judge High School, he said, as Father Flanagan, he said, "Yeah, so watch your wallets." I'm just oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I literally tried to pull him away from the microphone. I went up, but anyway.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to,
thank
that
you.
That was a great picture.
I appreciate that.
You look like you are where you need to be.
Yeah, thank you.
And should be.
And what it did? I saw that. I didn't see it on Facebook, but I saw the picture that he took. And I'm like, I thought, two things. Man, I got a lot of hair, and two, most of it's gray, And then three, that prompted me to get a haircut today.
Okay. Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Not the Grecian formula route or anything like that?
Actually, this is not gray. I actually dye it gray.
Okay.
It makes me look more wise.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right.
Hey,
we better get on. We better get cracking here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, chapter 14.
The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus, the way to the Father. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Mm. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The promise of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go hence.
In summary, this chapter 14 is it's a summons to faith, which then our Lord connects with works a couple of times throughout this. In this chapter, Jesus gives what I think is perhaps his most famous quote. I am the way and the truth and the life. And then I'll just do a little unpacking of that word, my Father's house. So anyway, but to step back here, in a very short time, this world of the disciples is going to collapse. And so Jesus urges them to have faith, Have faith in God. Have faith in me. There does come a time, Dave, when we must believe what we cannot prove.
Yes.
You know, I think in this empirically driven world, that is, I think it goes hand in hand with the decline of faith, at least in Western culture. Like, well, if you can't prove it, we've become a culture of empiricists.
I agree.
And yet there are so many things that the modern world doesn't see that it accepts.
Yes.
Right. But anyway.
Well, I'd like to talk. I talk about that, or I mention in conversation with people, like in Bible study, and others too see that. You know, it's if you can't prove it,
it doesn't exist. And again, I mean, there's great benefit from the modern drive for empiricism, right? I mean, we've made incredible strides in technology and quite frankly, life expectancy.
Exactly.
Right? In medicine and so on and so forth. But there's always going to be something, things that we can't prove that we know to be true.
Yes.
You know? So if I were to say to you, for example, fully explain to me your love for your wife. Nobody can do that. In a certain way, it goes beyond words.
Yes. I was just going to say that. I mean, words will take it to a certain point.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than that. It's so much deeper than
that. So that's why we have the arts. It goes beyond that, right? The, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Michelangelo gave us the, when he was 23 or 24, carved out of just a block of granite, the Pietà. And it's just, you're very familiar with it, I'm sure. He's, you know, he's Our Lady with all the gowns, serenely holding the lifeless body of her son, right? I don't know if you know this. That's in Rome. There
it's
is another.
Also in the back of in St. Francis Cabrini Parish.
Yeah, so you see,
we have that as you go.
Right, right. It's beautiful.
It's not the one like in Rome, but it's beautiful.
But do you know? He,
and it came from St. Joe's after we merged with him, St. Joseph the Worker.
The Worker.
So, that was one of the greatest gifts that we got from that.
I don't know if you realize this. He actually gave us another Pietà. It's in Florence. It's called the Florentine Pietà.
I think I do remember that.
It's much different than the one we find in Rome. And he carved this when he was 73, so 50 years later and close to death. And it's Our Lady who looks just so distressed, unlike the one there. And next to the Blessed Mother is St. John, who's just trying to grasp, like he's just, Christ is just out of the grasp of him. And when he was asked about why are they so different, he said, because when I was 23, I didn't know what it meant to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, so there's certain things
that come with age
and go right. And also that goes beyond anything we can prove. Like that was revealed to him over a lifetime.
Absolutely. Like
what's it mean to suffer? Where do I even go? Okay, so in the beginning of the...
I went off.
I mean, so Jesus urges them to believe that there's many dwelling places for them in heaven. It's so much different than earthly houses, which all become eventually overcrowded or dilapidated and must turn people away. Well, that's Jesus is saying it's not like that in heaven, because heaven is as wide as the heart of God, and there's room for everybody in God's heart. Thomas,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thomas wanted, you know, he was like the empiricist of his time. Mm-hmm. And he asked Jesus about the way. Right? He's the one who, well, if I could just probe the nail marks.
And we all know that
hands.
That's where the doubting Thomas phraseology has come.
Yeah, he's real, truly a saint for our time, I think. So he wants to know about the way. So Jesus responds by saying, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. So let me just unpack that a little bit. First of all, as I understand, and again, like there's so many ways to sort of parse this, but first of all, he says he is the way. Note well the definite article there. Mm-hmm. He didn't say I'm a way.
Yeah.
He says I'm the way.
The or the. Yeah.
Right.
I'm from Erie, so.
Yeah.
The way, the way.
Yeah. What way? Yahweh. So let me, as I understand it, just imagine me. I've never been to Erie in my life. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine me being in Erie, and I need directions. And so imagine if I go to you up in Erie, and you give me the route to take. Mm-hmm. Well, this is, you know, go by Old Man Murphy's barn and then make a left. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. But instead, imagine if you said to me, Father, come, I'll take you there myself.
Yes.
In that case, the person to is the way, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we can't possibly miss our destination. Well, this is what Jesus has done for us. He doesn't merely give us directions or good advice. He takes us by the hand, mm-hmm. and he leads us because he is the way. Mm-hmm. But he's also the truth. And so I think this gets into character. You know, a teacher's character doesn't really affect his or her teachings of geometry or astronomy. But when the person is proposing to teach moral truth, character makes all the difference. And so a greedy person who teaches the value of generosity, or a domineering person who teaches the beauty of humility, it's bound to be ineffective, right? Mm-hmm. And the church history is sadly just rife with priests and sisters and bishops who, I mean, de facto, we are teaching morality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, yet we're imperfect, which always creates a sort of tension that's there. And that's because moral truth can't be conveyed solely by words. It has to be conveyed by example. Mm-hmm. Right. And so many people can say, well, I have taught you the truth, but only Jesus can say, I am the truth. That is, he is moral perfection incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then finally, he says, I am the life. Psalm 16, Dave, says that thou dost show me the path of life. And I think in the final analysis, what we're all searching for is life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's meaningful. And I do think...
Yes.
I think that's where modernity gets it wrong. Like, with its trashing of God, there is no ultimate reality, no ultimate meaning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why so many young people who have swallowed that lie, mm-hmm. it's just like they just see themselves as being random.
Exactly.
You know, they're just random players in a random universe.
What's it all about?
Alfie.
Yeah. What's the meaning of life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, and I think that's it. So I think what we're all searching for is life. We search for knowledge, for example, not for itself, not for its own sake, but in the hope that it will make our lives worth living. And this is what Jesus does. Because life with Jesus is life indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. you know, and we're called to live Jesus. I used to say Mass for the Christian brothers. And whenever I got done saying Mass, it was at LaSalle University, about 10 years ago. They had a house for retired Christian brothers, and I would say Mass there. And then they had a house in Ocean City, which a long time ago, over 20 years ago, I used to say Mass for them there. And whenever all the brothers would get done Mass, they would always say, live Jesus. It was a saying of St. Jean-Baptiste de La Salle, like, live Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. We're not called just simply to, we're called to share his life, which is divine, which doesn't make our lives easy, but it makes it possible, you know?
Amen. Yes.
So now we transition. This is where I'm going to kind of just get into a little etymology here. There are many dwellings, many houses. And I want to go into a little bit about that word house that Jesus uses here, because I think it it gets into maybe more than anything else Jesus talks about what heaven is like. And it, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, may he rest in peace or may she rest in peace. And rest is important, but it can't be boring. Right? After a while. So what's heaven like? The Greek word that he uses here for house is oikos, O-I-K-O-S. And we get the word house as translated here, but we also get the word economy. And so if you think of a bustling economy, say up in Manhattan, where you have restaurants and the garment district and the finance district, and all the shops, and on and on and on and on. Central Park. Okay. There's a lot of players there, right? And a lot of people building up. There's a lot of bad, a lot of evil in a city, to be sure. But if we think of what's good about Manhattan, there's a lot going on there, and everyone's doing his or her part, right?
Right.
To build up the greater economy. That's what heaven is like. Because what Jesus is saying, it's like an economy whereby, so you could almost imagine St. Francis of Assisi singing his song of peace, or St. Therese, the little flower, dropping rose petals from heaven, or St. Patrick teaching people the Trinity with a shamrock, and on and on and on and on. Like, but all of it at the service of God.
Can I add one real quick?
Well, just one last thing, like all purified.
Yes.
We're purified of any vestige of selfishness. Then you start to see heaven not as a static place where people are simply resting, but instead as a dynamic place.
Alive.
For alive. Alive with life.
Yes.
For all eternity.
Yeah. I was going to add in this series that you, Father Matt, and I are doing. That can enter into a small way, hopefully, for our listeners, to bring them to hear this.
Yes.
And to, you know, join the economy of God.
Yep. If there's one subject, if I could go back to college, if there's one subject they'd like to study, it's economics. Economics reveals so much of human nature.
Yes.
That, we'll save that for another.
Okay.
Okay, so then Jesus continues his discourse by relating faith and works. Essentially, he tells Philip that if he has trouble believing, then at least believe in his works, right? This is why the church canonizes people, because they've successfully fleshed out their faith, and they make it easier for us to believe. That's what happened to Malcolm Muggeridge, the British reporter, when he spent time in Calcutta with Mother Teresa. He became a Catholic.
Yes.
But it's only because it's Christ who is working through us. And then Jesus ends the chapter by defining true love. That is to say, keep the commandments. And that's how we know if we love him. So I love that formulaic way. You know, you see signs all the time that say, well, love is love. What the heck does that mean? Love is love. Imagine if we did that with anything. Imagine if
we
did...
Were we back in the 70s
Well, yeah. Well, you see, I see it all over the place. Yeah, but imagine if your employer gave you a paycheck and only gave you half of what you deserved, and you protest and you just say, he just says or she just says, paycheck is paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah? Yeah. But the most important reality is love, and we just like allow that to pass without, yeah, you know, properly critiquing that from every angle? No. Love. Yeah,
that's a very, I mean, just in a facile way. We'll just accept it, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And move on.
You know? Well, I think it's...
We don't want to be facile about it and make it oversimplified.
If love is the most important, I think, I'd love to sit with a, no pun intended, but I'd love to sit with a group of people and say, what, could somebody tell me what's more important than love? I guarantee everyone's going to say, no, love is the most important thing, right? Okay, so we're just going to say, yeah, let's not try to define it.
Exactly, yes.
Right? Would you do that with your employer? You're going to negotiate what your salary is.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. Eventually, like, yeah, I want to do this with my life, and I find it very fulfilling, mm-hmm. but I have bills to pay. Could you imagine, like, going for a mortgage, and mm-hmm. you just say, yeah, I just do...
Yeah.
You know, what do you do for a living? I don't know. How much money do you make? You know, money is money.
Enough.
But yet we do that with love.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's why Aquinas in the Summa, Thomas Aquinas said, love means willing the good of another as other.
Yes.
Okay, like for your sake, it's fully self-emptying.
Yes.
Right? That's what love is.
Yes.
And then Jesus here says, to keep the commandments, which is just another way of mm-hmm. saying, or Aquinas is putting in other words what Christ is saying,
yes,
here. You know what? Keep the commandments. That's mm-hmm. proof. Don't, yeah, steal from somebody. That's proof that,
yeah,
that you love them.
Live them.
Right. Right.
Apply them. Yes.
Easier said, of course, than done.
Yes, Father.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So I would just end this chapter by saying, the person who claims to love Jesus Christ but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, I love Jesus. And by the way, it's not simply the commandments. It's turning the other cheek.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's Jesus' words, right?
Yes.
To try to gain the whole world but forfeiting our soul. Okay, I'm forfeiting my soul. There's that great line in A Man for All Season. Did you ever see it?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Thomas More quotes Jesus there and says, but for whales, to Richard Ranch, who became Chancellor of Wales, offense to our Welsh friends listening to this, just like sold out Thomas More, sent him to death.
Absolutely.
Helped send him to death, yeah, anyway. And got whales, like, mm-hmm. you're not, yeah, even getting the whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to lie, at least get the whole world.
Yeah, exactly. Go big or go home.
That's exactly. We've come full circle.
Yes. Okay. So on that note,
yeah,
Father Matthew Guckin, thank you again for another exposition and sharing of the Gospel of John, chapters 13 and 14.
Yeah.
And we'll pick it up next time. And we'll delve into and go into 16 and 17.
Yeah, and which are just a continuation of the Last Supper.
Yes.
You know, the Last Supper in John goes from chapter 13 through 17. You know, it's five chapters just on the Last Supper, but it's all these different events which took place.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and thanks. I'll talk to you next time, Father Guckin, and ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel of St. John with Father Matthew Guckin on Holy Spirit Radio.